All right, the third paradox for law firm leaders is that you are the CFO. I'm not talking about the chief financial officer. You are the chief focus officer. Your job is to keep your team focused on its mission. Well, hello and welcome to the J. Sterling Hughes Show, where we share the secrets and the strategies of how we are building a rapidly growing law practice. You know, over the past 9 years, we have grown from zero attorneys to 25 and doing over $15 million in revenue. And my purpose here is to document what's working and what's not working in our practice with hopes that you can take that and you can recontextualize that for your practice and shorten your success curve. My name is Jeff Hughes and I'm your host. And today I'm talking to law firm leaders and those that are aspiring to be in a position of leadership or to own or to start a law firm. So I'm sharing with you some real painful experiences. These experiences that I'm sharing today have born out of true like face plants and kicks in the mouth that I've received over the years. And these are six leadership paradoxes that I have observed over the years. So the first lawyer leader paradox is this: unless the decision that you need to make can kill you, make it fast. There is something to be said in a firm strategy that is around the idea of decision velocity. The reality is that most decisions that we make, the vast majority of them, will not kill us. The worst that can happen is so much greater in our mind than in reality. And as we have grown Sterling Law over these past 9 years, when we have made decisions quickly and gotten to the point of failure faster, we are able to iterate, make the right decision, and move even quicker from there. So decision velocity, making decisions quickly, moving fast has been, it seems counterintuitive because you're going to make far more mistakes, generally speaking, but you're going to make them quicker. You're going to recover from them quicker, and you're going to succeed faster as a firm and move forward. So that's been a huge, huge part of our strategy over the years. And I've learned that the reality is most of these decisions are not expensive. The most expensive decisions as a category deal with people, those that we hire. So those decisions, I certainly recommend going slower on the hire and really fast on the termination when you realize they're not a fit or they're holding the team back in some particular way. Also, when it comes to decision velocity, making decisions quickly, what I have seen and have felt that when I delay a decision, especially one that's not super significant, it's certainly not a big strategic decision that will kill us if we execute wrong on that. But on these decisions, I wait. I find that I end up developing more and more decision fatigue, and my decisions end up being generally worse. So the idea of moving fast, failing fast is certainly part of our strategy, but also the idea of not letting ours or trying to prevent us getting into decision fatigue. So we make decisions quicker, live with the consequences, and move forward on that. So paradox number one, unless the decision can kill you, make it fast. Lawyer leader paradox number two, vulnerability and leadership is a show of strength. Showing your flaws, talking about them, being open and candid, even when it hurts for those words to come tumbling out of your mouth, builds connection and it builds strength with the team. And I have found that when I am vulnerable and I'm honest and open with my team, and I show my weaknesses, it endears them to me. It connects them with me closer. And I want to do that. I want to do that all the time. I really do. And whenever I fail to do that, or I'm not able to, or I don't succeed in it, it comes from really two places for me. It comes from an area that I'm really insecure around. I'm afraid of letting people into that and see that. And it's not that they don't even see it. Most likely they do. It's because I don't want them to know that I know, I guess, is part of the thinking. I don't want to own it publicly and put it in the light. So I'm insecure about that. So I try to hide it, cover it, don't show it. You know, like hopefully if I don't talk about it, they won't notice it. When the reality is, probably already did. The other way, other reason that I am held back from being vulnerable in my leadership is I don't have enough self-awareness. I don't even know enough about myself and how I'm operating and how I come across to people to be vulnerable around those things. So it's insecurity and it's a lack of self-awareness. Those are what hold me back from being vulnerable with my team and building that connection with them. I remember one time I had a leader, this is a true story. He told me, he said, Jeff, never let them see you sweat. I never admit my mistakes. I don't show that. I don't own those things. I remember thinking, man, this is it. At that moment, I had no more respect for that person as a leader. because they were not willing to even own their mistakes. The whole never let them see your sweat thing is just baloney, because we all do, and we all have stress points. We all have anxiety around certain things. Everyone knows that. So owning that seems so ridiculous, because it makes no sense that you're admitting you're like everyone else on the planet. But what's even more pernicious is whenever you screw up and you can't own it. That's like the lowest level of vulnerability, is like, yeah, I made a mistake. And also, when I talk about vulnerability, I'm not talking about this fake nonsense around being vulnerable, of laughing at things that you're good at. You know, everyone knows that. Everyone picks up on that. They know it's just a bunch of cover up because you're not letting anyone in to see who you really are. That's just insecurity masked as fake vulnerability around something that you're good at, and making a joke on something that you know you're good at, that everyone knows that that's one of your skills. In my case, it's a relief to my team when I'm vulnerable with them, especially around areas that I'm not good at. It's more than anything, it's letting them know that I know that I'm not good at something. And some of the areas that I've really struggled with, I'm not a good planner. I don't think through the details really well. I'm not good at giving the support that I need. I'm really good at giving challenge, but not so great at giving support. And I move too fast at times. I break things, you know. All of those things are some of my weaknesses, and my team feels them. Most of the time it lands on them. They gotta, you know, feel the brunt of those things. When I'm able to share with them that I know that I'm not good at these things, and I'm sorry I'm not giving you the support that you need, that just builds more trust with them. All right, the third paradox for law firm leaders is that you are the CFO. I'm not talking about the chief financial officer. You are the chief focus officer. Your job is to keep your team focused on its mission and be as narrow in that focus as possible. And that often means saying no to 1,000 things and saying yes to one thing, or maybe two things, and keeping your team focused on that particular thing. When we first started our firm, we started 9 years ago, and we grew from 0 to 8 lawyers like in the first 18 months. And we were just all full of ourselves, thinking that we were great. And we did a little of everything. We did family law, criminal law, personal injury. We did business stuff. We were just all over the place. And we felt, or at least I did, I felt that because we could get clients in abundance, we just should do that. And I didn't really pay attention to the fact that we were getting clients, but we weren't doing a really good job for many of those clients. In fact, we were doing a really poor job, and it was embarrassing. And I didn't want to spend my career chasing mediocrity, which is definitely what we were at that time. And so my partner, Tony, and I went to Florida, met with a consultant for a full day, and came back with, like, we are going to focus just on these things. And since then, we have been so dialed in and focused on family law. And even in family law, just a few areas of family law, to be really excellent in those areas, but it's come at a price. We've had to say no on a daily basis. Right now, I think today we send and refer out around 40 to 45 different matters a day because they're not in our wheelhouse. Staying focused has enabled us to become more and more excellent in that one area that we are going to perform well for our clients. So one of my primary jobs these past 7.5 years has been to keep our team focused on these things. And we are the most tempted is not like going really far afield and taking a big personal injury case or something like that that's got a lot of money. That's tempting, of course, right? To want to, you know, get those opportunities. But where it's really tempting are those case types that are just right next door. They're not too far afield. Our lawyers, most of which are equipped to handle them, and saying no to those so we can stay focused on the few things that we want to do excellently, that takes discipline. And that requires us to constantly come back and reaffirm our commitment to those things that we want to be great at. And that's the leader's responsibility, to keep her team focused on those things. The fourth lawyer leader paradox is this, that if you are not repelling most candidates, then you are certainly not attracting the right ones to your firm. The reality is that the vast majority of people who want to join your firm, who apply, are not a good fit for your firm. It's only those special few who are going to be magical fits to help you succeed. So having processes in place to repel, to push people away, filters that require extra steps, that's all a part of the process. We recently hired for a position, and I remember we were getting like 125 to 150 applicants for each position for one hire. And one of the ways that we repelled the majority of those is that we sent them back a list of things that we needed them to do. And that was all about filtering them out. And that 125 came down to like 6. And then we took the next step and we went through the interview process and eventually settled on one. And that process worked really well for us. The same thing has shown up in with hiring our lawyers. In our early days, the success rate was probably around 20 to 30% of the lawyers who joined our firm actually succeeded with us. Now, that's not good. That was a majority on us. We're not giving them a better environment and doing a lot better on the selection part of it on the front end. But today we've increased those numbers. They've certainly become better, but it's still not 100%. It's still in the high percentages of success rate, but it's not all the way there. There's only a few of a big candidate pool that would really do well in our system. So we have to do a really good job of repelling them on the front end so they don't feel they would be good. So we don't make a wrong selection process so they don't join the wrong team that's the wrong fit for them. And this has hurt me so much over the years where I've had to painfully learn and relearn this because I have at times been really enamored with like the name brand attorney, someone who's well-regarded in the marketplace, who's a great person a lot of times, but they just didn't fit our set of processes and our firm weren't a good fit for our culture. And so being able to hold back from those has been something I've had to learn and relearn the hard way. Another area that shows up for me where I've struggled here is whenever we're just desperate, we're growing like crazy, we need warm bodies, and letting my guard down, letting our qualification process down and hiring someone has been a real struggle for us. So repelling candidates to attract the right ones. All right, the fifth lawyer leader paradox is this. You are not only the CEO a lot of times, you're not only the CFO, but you are the chief monotony officer. Your job is to repeat the same message over and over again. And let me just forewarn you, it's gonna get boring, but your team needs to hear your messaging over and over again. I've seen studies where they need to hear it 7 to 13 times before they even heard it the first time. You say something once in a meeting and you repeat it again the next week, you're only about a tenth of the way there. You gotta keep repeating that message over and over again. For example, in our firm right now, we are wanting to elevate our client experience. We wanna be best in the world at supporting family law clients going through a divorce or a family legal matter. So we want to give them an extraordinary experience. That means a lot of little touches and a lot of little changes about how we do things. And we've been talking about this for months now. And going into next year, it's going to be something that we repeat over and over and over again. And eventually, hopefully by the end of the year, we've got the whole team rallied around this message that long ago became boring to me to talk about. But it's required of me to be the chief monotony officer, the CMO of our firm. All right, the sixth lawyer leader paradox is that self-awareness is your superpower. Being aware of who you are, what you're good at, and especially what you're not good at, what your tendencies are, how you come across and how you present to teammates is an absolute superpower if you can build it and if you can hone it. The teammate you need to know the best is you. You before anyone else. You have to know who you are. The reason is that everybody is watching. You can't be late to meetings. You've got to know yourself. You can't be unprepared. You can't gossip. You can't be sarcastic about other teammates. You can't share private information. You can't share information that shouldn't be shared to your team yet just to make someone like or support you. You have to be the one to follow the processes in your firm that are built out, that are documented. Even if you know you can do it quicker in the moment, you still have to be the one to follow that. If you have the tendency not to do that, you have to know yourself and put yourself in a position where you can resist that. That self-awareness is a magical, magical superpower because you are the chief model in the firm. If you know yourself, know what you're not good at, and you model that to your team and you do the right thing, you don't set a bad example. Your team will follow that positive example and they will multiply that bad example. So you have to know yourself and how you come across. And remember that your team is always going to judge you by what they perceive, by what you do. Whereas you will judge yourself by your intentions, by your motives. You know your intentions, you know your motives, you know they're right and they're pure and they're just, but how that's executed and how that comes off is a whole lot different to your team because they're looking at what you're doing and they're watching that and they're judging you by what they perceive and what they see, not by what you say and certainly not by what you have in your mind that you're thinking about as to your motive, as to your reason for doing something. All right. That's the six lawyer leader paradoxes. I hope those are helpful to you as you seek to grow your practice and your law firm. Have a great week.